Good morning and welcome to the program. It's good to have you along with us this morning for Words of Truth. I want to continue studying through our lesson on spiritual restoration. This will be the final lesson of the series. After we studied the fact that we needed to realize the need for restoration, we talked about seeking God, restoring our strength, and restoring our zeal, and we talked about finding forgiveness. And now comes the hardest part. The work. It's time for us to take all of the knowledge and zeal and put them into action. And realizing who you are and all of your self-worth should motivate you to greater actions today than you had yesterday. We must decide to live it. We must decide to live because of who we are. We are precious to God. We're very valuable. We were purchased. We were bought. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20 says, "For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 23, "You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men." You see, we've already been bought. Those of us who are Christians, we have been bought. Do not go back to living a life of sin like Satan wants us to live. That price that was paid was God's only Son. We read in John chapter 3 at verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And then if you will, turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1 at verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and spot." In Acts 20, verse 28. "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." You see the importance of the blood that Jesus shed, because it was the price for our sins. And this blood was innocent blood. Matthew chapter 27, beginning with verse 3. Matthew chapter 27, beginning with verse 3. "Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, 'I have sinned by betraying innocent blood.' And they said, 'What is that to us? You see to it.'" And that blood brings us eternal redemption. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12 says, "Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption." And this blood cleanses us from our sin. 1 John chapter 1 at verse 5. 1 John chapter 1 at verse 5. It says, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." All because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And this blood reconciles us. If you will, turn to Ephesians chapter 2 at verse 13. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 13. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create himself one new man from two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. You see, reconciliation means to restore favor or making peace between enemies. And that is exactly what Jesus has done with his blood. Because when we are living a sinful life, we cannot have contact with God, and God cannot have contact with us until we decide to repent. And when we decide to go through Jesus, through the watery graves of baptism, we can be reconciled to God. And that reconciliation is accomplished by the death of Jesus. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. Romans chapter 5, verse 10 says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." And reconciliation was provided while you were a sinner. In verse 8 of Romans chapter 5, we read, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us." You see, before you chose to sin against God, before you were even born, God had already sent his precious Son because he wanted you to be reconciled to him. He knew that you were going to sin. Paul reminds us of this reconciliation in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 20. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." When we became reconciled to God, we became righteous. Have you been reconciled? Are you righteous? If you're righteous, you will be a person who is living upright. It's those who walk uprightly that will not be moved. Those who are righteous. Turn, if you will, to Psalm chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. Psalm 15 at verse 1. We read, "Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up reproach against his friend. In whose eyes a vile person is despised. But he honors those who fear the Lord. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. He does not put out his money at interest, nor does he take up a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved." Do you want to be strong and solid in your faith? Live for God, because the Lord knows the righteous, and he knows the way of the righteous, and he will make sure that we stand firm and that we are never moved, and that we will live in eternity. Psalm chapter 1, verse 6 says, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." And the Lord loves the righteous. Psalm 146 at verse 8. Psalm 146 verse 8 says, "The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous." And the only way to have your prayers heard by God is to be righteous. Proverbs 15:29 reads, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous." And notice in Matthew chapter 25, when Jesus is talking about those who do right will be on one side and those who do wrong will be on the other side, as they will be separated. Well, Matthew 25 verse 46 says, and these, talking about those who do not do God's will, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Be righteous so that you can make it to heaven. Don't live for Satan so you will live eternity in torment. Be sanctified. Be set apart, because a sanctified person has purpose. You are set apart by the Word of God to share your reconciliation with others. And when you're sanctified or set apart, you're different from the world. Turn, if you will, to Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. We read, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The renewing of your mind sets you apart from the world. And that's a glorious thing, because those of us who are set apart from the world can be lights in the world, and we can bring others to Jesus. But your mind must be set on things above. Colossians 3:2 tells us, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. So how does one become sanctified? Well, Jesus, while talking to God in John chapter 17, verse 17, asks God to sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And he says in John chapter 8, verse 31, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And in verse 32, he goes on to say, the truth will make you free. So what are we freed from? Well, we're freed from the bondage of sin. John chapter 8, continuing in verse 34. Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. See, those who are sanctified are washed, and they're justified. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 at verse 11 says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. What are the sanctified washed from? They're washed from their sins. Acts 22:16 says, and now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Will you decide to live today? Will you be totally spiritually restored and live? The Bible teaches in order to be a Christian, you must hear the word of God, believe it to be true, repent of your sins, confess Jesus as Lord, and be baptized, like we just talked about in Acts 22:16, in water for the remission of your sins. Will you do that? Have you done that? Whatever the case may be, don't wait till it's too late if you haven't. Make sure you obey the gospel plan of salvation. If we can help you, let us know. If you're someone who has fallen away from the church and you need prayers of the church, let us know that as well. Again, my name is Scott Pauley. I'm the minister at the Church of Christ at 601 Washington Street in St. Albans, West Virginia. You can call me at 304-727-0761, or you can email me at wvdj105@aol.com. Or you can stop by and see us. On Sunday mornings, we come together at 9:30 for Bible study, and then at 10:25, we meet for worship. And then again at 6 p.m. on Sundays, we meet for worship. We also come together on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for Bible study. You're welcome to join us at any time. Or you can look us up on Facebook at Washington Street C of C. Or you can look us up online at www.washingtonstreetcofc.org. That's Washington, STCofc.org. We hope to see you, and we hope to see you back again next week for Words of Truth.